while Ardsale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Today marks the final sermon in our six-part series, Rebuild and Restore. Can you imagine? 6 weeks already done. Do you remember week one? You know, week one. It was 6 weeks ago. Hey, see what I did there? No? Should I do it again? Yeah. So it's a six-parter. It's done. Each week we've had a different theme. In week one, it was when things are broken as a sub-theme. In week two, when you can't do nothing. I love double negatives. When you can't do nothing, which means you must do something. In week three, we looked at rebuilding and restoring when you know the cost. There is a price that is required of us in order to have our lives rebuilt and restored. Week four was when the wind blows. And week five, last week, when the enemy is within. I love this phrase. I often say it, that sometimes the greatest enemy is the inner me. The greatest enemy is the inner me, with our habits and our practices. Each of the sermons focused on on key elements that we should be looking out for in this new. Bless you. Thank you so much. And those of you who are listening, who are joining service on radio, you cannot see. Babs has brought a long-handled broom, and she's just sweeping some of the crayons out of the way before I crush them into the carpet, which would be a problem. Thank you. No, that's fine. That's fine. So each of the sermons focus on key elements that we should be looking out for in our new series. And we know God has called us into something, and we're aiming to step out in obedience. As we take that step in obedience to God, we begin to see His plan unfolding more and more. Likewise, as we've journeyed through these chapters in the book of Nehemiah, we see the unfolding of God's will in our lives. Many people I've spoken to, quite a number of people have actually come up to me and said, you know, I mean, obviously I did week one, and then we've had over the last 4 weeks, we've had guest preachers in, and people have come up to me and said, that word was for me. And so I give God thanks. I really, really give God thanks for the way that He has blessed us through His Word. Today's theme is when to doubt your doubt. When to doubt your doubt. You see, to doubt is to experience an absence of conviction, a conviction of faith. When you are doubting, you don't have that conviction of faith. To experience doubt, it's quite a normal human trait, but to experience doubt is also to be somewhat fearful, somewhat afraid, to be uncertain. However, as with all, you know, double negatives, here I'm going to say, this is when you doubt your doubt, what you're doing is to be in the place, no, to doubt your doubt is to put in its place something positive. To doubt your doubt means you're not just frozen by fear. You're not, you know, they say paralysis by analysis. Does anybody experience that? Where you're thinking, you're thinking, and you're thinking, and you're thinking about thinking, and you're thinking what you're going to do, and you realize the whole day is gone. Nothing's happened. You know, when you doubt your doubt, you get up and go. You get to work on it. You know, doubting your doubt is what gets you up on a cold winter's morning. You know, it's not because you like waking up when it's dark and going to bed when it's dark. Doubting your doubt, has anybody ever had mornings like that where you just get up and you say, you know what? I don't want to do this today. Have you ever had that morning? I told you the story about the person, the woman, the mom who called her son. You know, she walked into her son's bedroom and said, son, you need to get up and go to church. It's a Sunday morning. Come on, it's time for church. And the son's like, mom, leave me alone. And the mom's like, come on, you got to go to church. It's time now. Mom, leave me. So she yanks the duvet off the son. And the son is like, mom, you know, and she's convincing him, you've got to go to church. But why? Everybody's waiting. You know, the Holy Spirit's there. You said you would do it. It's what we do every week. Yeah, but why me? And the woman says, because you're the pastor. Honestly, I can still tell the truth here, right? I had one of those mornings this morning. I said to Sumi, I said to Babs, when we our time of prayer this morning, I woke up this morning, I was like, Lord, you know, the Nigerian came out, right? I mean, why, how can it be 10 past 6? 10 past 6 where? No, it must be 10 past 4. And God, as he always does, was just silent over that one. When you doubt your doubt, you get up and you go. You get up and you get it done. It's not about what you wish, what you want, how you feel. You get up and get it done. As we hold to that theme, when to doubt your doubt, I want us to look at one of the most important, one of the most memorable parts of Nehemiah rebuilding and restoring the wall. And for those of you who are going through something right now, those of you who are maybe you're facing one battle or another, you're facing one challenge or another, you know, something within you perhaps is broken, something within you is burned, something needs to be restored, something needs to be rebuilt. I want you to remember that no matter what you are going through, God wants you to be fully rebuilt and restored. Amen. You know, over the last few weeks, as I said, we've been looking at the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem, and you probably remember Nehemiah faced all sorts of opposition. The children's talk just now touched a little bit about that, touched on it a little bit. And the worst part of it is the people through whom the opposition came. Opposition can come through all sorts of things. It comes from the weather, comes from circumstances, but sometimes it comes from people. And I want to point out some of the stuff that happened at the beginning of Nehemiah chapter 6. You know, I love what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah chapter 6. I love what he did. You know, and the children's talk last week actually laid a foundation for this. Every time he faced this opposition, every time he faced the distraction, there was a phrase that he used. And here is the phrase. He says, I am doing a great work and I can't come down. Every single time they'd send somebody to distract him, they'd send that, you know, distract him with something, and he would give them the same answer. I'm doing a great work, I can't come down. Even when they made up stories against him, you know, he didn't get distracted by what was going on. Have you noticed something about the enemy? When the enemy wants to get you, I mean, when he really wants to get you, he will use anyone. He will use anything. He will use any situation to get you. Anything to distract you, to entice you with temptations. Things that will bring conflict in your life. Satan will use anyone to get you to a place that's outside of God's will for your own life. And it's important that when these sorts of things happen, you face that opposition. And you know what you say? I am doing a great work. I can't come down. I love the phrase. To come down is to descend. It's to come into a lower position than you already are. The job of the enemy is to bring you down. It's to demote you. It's to diminish you. And as many of you know, just over 3 weeks ago, we hosted the Community Fun Day. This year, we had just over 700 people come, which was great. Praise the name of the Lord. Even though the rain came, first time the rain came, and then the rain went, we said, oh, right, it rain's finished. And Jesus was like, so they think. And then the rain came again. And we said, okay, we've had it twice. All right, yay, the sun's out. Yay, the rain's finished. And then it came the third time, and we were like, you know what? Okay, Lord, okay. But still, we had 700 people, and I give God thanks for that. You know, many of you, what many of you, or some of you might not know, the planning for what happened in August started in February. It's about a six-month lead time to plan an event like that. And as we drew closer to the date itself, I have to tell you, my plate was full. Very, very full. I was having late nights, or maybe early mornings, I don't know how you would call that. You know, because of the sorts of things that I was... Pastor Manuela was working 12 days a week. You know? We were putting in the time, we were putting in the hour, you know, and we're grateful for so many of you that put your hands to the plow, that says, how can I help? That stepped up and took things off our plates. Thank you. Now, during the last few weeks towards it, there were so many tasks, so many requests for assistance, so many needs of help. And in all of the cases, there was a degree of legitimacy. Each one of them, people will call me, Pastor, can you do this? People will call me, can I ask you this? Can you help me with this? Can you do that? And in many of the cases, what do you think my answer to them was? I am doing a great work. I can't come down. Even though the request was legitimate, I told you all of that to give you a little bit of a backstory, the kind of thing that's going on in our passage today. Now, at the point that we picked up, in chapter 6. The wall has been completed. The wall is completed. I'm quite sure everybody there would have been pleased with it. Now, even though the wall was completed, it was not finished. The work, as I say, was not finished. In fact, it was just the beginning. As Christians, we're meant to be pioneers. We're meant to keep doing things for God so that by God's Spirit, we can push back the kingdom of darkness. Yeah? And usher in the kingdom of Jesus, God's Son. Amen? You know, when I looked at our passage today, it occurred to me, the wall was completed, but the work was not finished. That very famous England 1966 match said, they think it's all over. They were celebrating early. But until that final whistle goes, the work is not finished. The wall around Jerusalem was complete, but the work was not finished. You know, someone told me there's a difference between complete and finished. I'll give you a quick illustration. You might have heard this before. Sumi and I shortly be celebrating our wedding anniversary, and I give God thanks for our marriage. Thank God for a woman like her. And in the relationship we've had, you know, it's really good. It's a relationship one, talking about marriage. If you marry the right person, you will be complete. If you marry the wrong one, you're finished. That's the difference between complete and finished. So coming back to the story, coming back to the Bible, the point I'm making here is just because the building work had taken place, it doesn't mean that Nehemiah was finished. And sometimes, too often, we're easily distracted, we're easily called, easily pulled into celebrating early like those goalkeepers. The ball hit the bar, goalkeeper goes running. Until the ball stops moving, that play is not finished. So let's look at verse 16 of our text. It tells us the enemies heard about the completion of the wall. And when they heard that the wall had been built, the Bible says these guys crumbled. They lost their self-confidence. Why? They didn't lose it because Nehemiah was a good guy. He didn't do it on his own. He did it with God. And so shall it be for you. I don't know what you're trying to achieve in your life. I don't know what it is you're trying to do. And God bless you guys for bringing your children to the Lord. You know, I don't know what it is you're trying to do, but you do it with the Lord, you will succeed. I don't know what is standing in your way. I don't know who is standing in your way. I don't know what doubt the enemy is throwing at you, or whether something is achievable, doable, or not. And it is time for you to doubt your doubt. It's time for you to do that. And whatever that doubt is, whatever that enemy is it anxiety? Is it fear? Is it lack of money? Maybe it's lack of education. Maybe it's your age. Oh, I'm too old for dot, dot, dot. I'm too young for dot, dot, dot. You know, the distractions will come. The challenges will come. They'll come at you with one excuse or another, one reason or other, to pull you away from what you should be doing, who you should be. And when they come for you, when they come against you, yeah? I don't care whether you shout it or you whisper it. This is what you answer. What do you say? I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. If God is building something up in your life, if God is restoring something in your life, don't let anybody pull you down. Don't let anybody distract you. Who are they? As I love this, there's a scripture, a verse that says everybody needs to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Sometimes people come with their business. I'm like, listen, I'm trying to work out my own salvation, bruv. I'm staying in my lane. Stay in yours. I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. I don't care whether you whisper it or you shout it. And when it is done, these people who have opposed you, those people who are hating on you just as it was, those people who are throwing shade, those people who are cussing you out behind your back, just as it was with Nehemiah, when you stand in there and you're focused on what it is that he has called you to be, they will lose their self-confidence because you're not reliant on yourself. You're reliant on the Lord. When they hear what God has done for you, they will lose their self-confidence. Let me be clear. If these people had said, oh, wow, you know, they marveled at Nehemiah because he was a great guy is one thing. But they didn't give glory to Nehemiah. They weren't there to big up Nehemiah. They lost their self-confidence because God helped Nehemiah. And they knew that. The glory is for God. It's not for us. Amen? Verses 17 to 19 tell us about a guy called Tobiah. This guy was bad news. This guy was the enemy within. This guy was one of those guys. You know, he was quite sneaky. He had network. He had a good connection. He knew people. He was son-in-law to a guy called Shekaniah. Sorry. I don't know why I do things like that. Just keep praying for me, right? Now, Shechaniah was quite a good guy. Shechaniah was quite regarded. He was quite well known. And Tobiah was his son-in-law. But because Shechaniah was well known, Tobiah jumped on that bandwagon. He was using Shechaniah's reputation as a means for him to get in, to get closer to Nehemiah. Remember, Tobiah was one of those people, and we saw it if you read the beginning of chapter 6, he's one of those people that's troubling Nehemiah. He's one of those people that's trying to get him distracted, one of those people trying to stop him doing what God has called him to do. Yeah. He is the enemy within, trying to distract Nehemiah. And I want to bring a little bit of caution. I don't know what friends you have. I don't know the people you know. I don't know your network. I don't need to know your network. But I want to caution you to be careful of the people in your inner circle, in your closest circle. I want to caution you, be careful of them. Are they encouraging you in the things of God, or are they pulling you away from the things of God? Sometimes we ask, these are the things we say to children. These are the things we say to youth. Oh, mind your friends at school. You know, mind your friends at school. You know, your friend Bob. You know, well, just in case anybody has a friend called Bob. Hey, I'm not talking about that Bob. It's the other one. sometimes we do that. But today I'm not doing that. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to everybody here. I'm talking to the adults. I'm talking to those of you worshiping from home. I'm talking to those of you listening on the radio right now. Who are your friends? Or maybe that friend, you know, and we have this thing where loyalty becomes the number one. That friend we've known since secondary school was like, oh, you know, my secondary school, oh my gosh, we've been through so much. That was then. It was right for then. Is it right for now? I'm just asking, is it right for now? That cannot be your primary motivation. Maybe it's someone that you knew, before you came into the country. Maybe it's someone that you know is connected. Someone who's plugged into the network you want to become. And you think, you know what? If I maintain the friendship, this person can help me with my business, help me with my objectives. Maybe that's what's on your mind. They'll introduce you to people. Maybe you feel you owe them something. And so you'll go anywhere with them. You'll do anything they say. If that is the case, I want to caution you right now to watch out. Ensure that you are with the right people in your life. The people who will bring out God's best in you. Just in the same way that the godparents came and stood with Amelia Rose, stood with Darnell, stood with Kalita and Miro to say, you know what, we're in this, we're committed, we're in this, we're with you. We're going to help raise these children well. Do you remember Nehemiah's answer when the distractions came? I'm doing. You need to learn this. These words need to be burned in your heart for those times and those moments. Now, let's look quickly at the first three verses of chapter 7. First few verses of chapter 7. By the time we get to this point of the story, the wall is completed. We know it's been done in record time. Great. The people are happy. I'm sure they're pleased. But this is where we see that the work, although complete, was not finished. The city has been protected by this new wall. Right? It's even got new gates. The Bible tells us the doors are in place. It's talking about the gates of the city. But as you can see here, the wall alone wasn't enough. The gates alone weren't enough. This Bible text is telling us beyond the wall and the gates, they needed guards. It needed guards around the city. Saints, it's a lesson for us all to learn. Things alone can never be enough to do God's work. That thing that God gave you cannot be enough to do God's work in your life. Yeah, in 2 weeks' time, 30th of September, we heard it earlier on in the church service, we're going to be having our maintenance morning, and it's not good enough for you to just donate a pair of, marigold yellow gloves. It's not good enough for you to donate some Silit Bang. Bang, and the dirt is gone. Yeah. Was that a plug? Was that a... Silit Bang, I mean, that stuff, man. You can't inhale it for more than 30 seconds. You spray it 3 times, you leave the room, come back, spray it 3 times. Or is that just me? I can see some of the ladies thinking, you wimp. I'm sure every guy is like, yeah, we're with you, Pastor. So it's not just about bringing the things. Yes, we want you to have your toolbox, but don't just come and leave your toolbox at the door. Come with the toolbox. God puts a higher value on people than he puts on pounds. We put a higher value on you than we put on your money. We need you. The kingdom of God needs you. Pollard Hill Baptist Church is the best church in the whole wide world. I know, and for those of you who are new, you're hearing that for the very first time. Hey, we make no apologies. It's the best church in the whole wide world. But we're not perfect, saints. Mm-mm. We are not perfect. We're a work in progress, aren't we? We're still trying to fix up. We're trying to pick up. We're trying to move up. We're trying to grow up, aren't we? So will you make that happen? Will you help? Will you step up to help because you can see the need and you know you should do it? Or are you going to sit back and wait to be asked? Are you going to sit back and do nothing because nobody said anything? You know, nobody said nothing to me, so I ain't doing nothing, yeah? Come on, saints. Come on, saints. We're better than that, aren't we? If no one asks you, what are you going to do? What will you do? God has called us to dig down into the foundation. He's called us to build. He's called us to restore. And the digging part is messy, it's mucky, it's dirty, it's dangerous. Yes, it's dark, it's hard. Who likes to dig? Who does? But without foundations, this building wouldn't stand. Yet God has called us to do that. Just like with a house, the digging and the building always come first. The restoring, the painting, the decorating, the fancy bit, that comes later. That comes later. And of course, it's the nice part. It's the part everybody sees. You know, it's like icing on a cake. Everybody sees the cake. Wow, that's a beautiful cake. It might taste horrible. It really might. I can't remember what it was. There was a day, I think somebody did we go somewhere and someone gave us some cake and we were sitting there eating. And I said to my wife, I could taste meat. When I'm eating cake, I don't want to taste meat. I mean, the cake looked nice, but as soon as I put it in my mouth, I'm like, was this made on a barbecue? What's going on? It was horrid, really horrid. And yes, of course, the flesh wants the icing. We want it to look nice. We want it to be attractive and look fancy. But if the foundation isn't right, saints, we're going to get it messed up. In fact, after a few weeks ago, week one of this series, where I talked about digging, you know, digging out some stuff in our lives so God can put in some new stuff, somebody came and confessed to me and said, "Oh, Pastor Deji, I don't like digging. I don't like digging. I don't like laying foundations. It's too messy. You know, I just want the painting, you know." Come on, isn't that what the flesh wants? We just want the painting. Yeah, I put some gloves on. Oh, that looks pretty. Because we want that. And I thank God for this person. I thank God this is a person who knows the difference between what you want and what you choose. And this person is still choosing to do the right thing. Verse 2 of chapter 7. Something stood out for me here. There's this guy, Hanani, who's Nehemiah's brother. Then there's Hananiah, who's then chosen to be in charge of the city. Or as it says here, the commander of the citadel, who's in charge of the city. Now look at this. This guy wasn't in charge of the wall. He wasn't in charge of the gate. No, he was in charge of the whole city. He's not a wall sentry. He's not a guard over Jerusalem. But what's the reason? Can you see it in the verse? The reason that stood out in this man's CV is not because of his money. It's not because of his position. It's not because of his popularity. It's not because he was the most liked guy. He was the one that everybody voted in. What stood out about him wasn't his sense or his experience or his intelligence. What stood out about Hananiah, why he was commander of the city, is because he was a man of integrity. He was a man of integrity. That's why. That's the beautiful thing about God's kingdom. You know, there's no class system. Just be a person of integrity. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be someone whose word we can trust, whose actions we can trust, whose motive we can trust. Simple. Are you a person of integrity? Are you? One definition of integrity that I really like. It says, you know, integrity is what you will do when nobody's going to ask you. Integrity is that thing you choose when no one's going to ask you. You know, I remember, let me share it very briefly. I had a part years ago, as you know, some of you know, I used to run a business and I had this thing. I was providing services to all sorts of large and small organizations, including churches. And I had a pastor that had commissioned us for a job. And it wasn't a huge job. It was a small job. It was £450. And back then, this is 2007. And back then, we always said, it's half down and half on completion. So £450, half of that is what? 225. I've helped you. Yeah. Okay. Something like that. 450. So 225, right? This pastor commissioned me, right? And he said, yep, no problems. We sorted out. No problems. He disappears. First week, I hear nothing, I see nothing. Second week, I hear nothing, I see nothing. Third week, I hear nothing. A month after we met, meeting, everything signed, he calls me up. Hey, brother, how you doing? I say, yeah, I'm good, Pastor. What's going on? He says, yeah, I'm just checking on our project. Your project? Yeah, just checking on the project. So, well, I didn't hear anything from you. You were supposed to pay a deposit of $225. He says, okay, so how far have you done with the work? I said, I ain't done jack with your work. Sorry, you guys know me. I'm gonna tell it like it is. I haven't even switched on my computer. I forgot you exist. Sorry, you know. He said, "What do you mean you haven't done anything? I mean, it's been a whole month and you did nothing. I mean, I was even wondering about this. I'm thinking, you know, I need to do something. And for the sake of integrity, this morning I put £150 in your business account. For the sake of integrity, a month after you said it." You put less than you said you would put in my account. I told that story. I remember I told that story I've told that story a number of times in a number of places. And there were two occasions I've told that story. And somebody walked right up to me and said, I know exactly which pastor it was. And I said to the person, really, who do you think it was? And the person called and they were both times were spot on. Jesus said to the disciples, who do men say that I am? Then he says, who do you say that I am? And I challenge you before me today. And those of you who are watching online, listening online, who do people say you are? Are you a person of integrity? When I told that story without mentioning name, city, church, denomination, I didn't say jack. They knew exact spot on who that person was. Their reputation had gone ahead of them. Hananiah is recorded in God's word for all of eternity because he was a man of integrity. He would do things, he would do the right thing even if no one was going to check in on him. Let me show you this picture. This is a picture of the Great Wall of China. Do you know about the Great Wall of China? It was built years and years and years ago. It is considered one of the great wonders of the world. This thing is huge. It is huge, absolutely huge. It's one of the largest building projects ever done in humanity. I discovered the Great Wall of China is about 4,000 miles long. So you're thinking, oh, 4,000 miles, wow, that's far. Let me help you understand. One wall from here to Nigeria is about 4,000 miles long. To Lagos in Nigeria is about 4,000 miles long. One wall from here to Lagos? Are you kidding me? This thing was huge. Let me understand that. At its thinnest point, it was 15 meters thick. 15 feet thick. At its thinnest point, 15 feet is probably from here to that brother over there. 15 feet thick at its thinnest point. In some places, 25 feet tall. It was built as a protection for the Chinese people. Now, they didn't just build the wall, they put guards along the top of the wall. This thing was built to be unbreachable, absolutely unbreachable. I mean, you can see people walking along the top of it. It's huge, huge. But guess what? In the history of the Great Wall of China, it was breached. It was breached three times. Do you know how they did it? Can you guess how they did it? Let me tell you how a wall that thick, that high, with all those many soldiers stationed on it, let me tell you how it was breached. They bribed the gatekeeper. The wall wasn't the problem. The people charged with the wall were the problem. So what about you? What about your own walls? What about your own gates? Are they safe? Your eye gates, the things you see, your ear gate, the things you listen to, those conversations. Are they safe? Where are the soldiers around you? Where are the soldiers around your soul, around your life, around your spirit, around your mind? Where are the soldiers? The things that you read that will strengthen your mind, or the people, the things you listen to or will read that will do the opposite. Are you safe? Or has there been compromise? Nehemiah chapter 7 and verse 4. There are two things in this verse. Number one, there was room for more. The city was spacious, but it had few people in it. Just like God's kingdom, there's room for more. At Pollard Hill Baptist Church, we're a loving church. We're a loving people. We love to give. Now, with all the love that we've got going, we want others to come and join us. And I tell people all the time, this church isn't for everybody. It isn't. It's not. Because this is a church for people who want to serve God. This is a church for people who want to serve others, who want to be a blessing to other people. And there's always work to do. We want to be people who don't just receive. We want to be people who give as well. There's always work to do. One of the principles with which I raised my children, these two and the older children, you know, is there's no such thing as boredom. You know, even Tomini has experienced it. So he will come up to me, oh, daddy, I'm bored. Oh, you're bored? Yes. I said, oh, wow, let's do this. It's a great adventure. You're going to enjoy this. And we go into this, under the stairs, get out a bucket. Yeah. Oh, and he thinks, oh, what are we going to do? It's a bucket. Yeah. You know, let's fill it with water. Are we going to fill it with water? Wow. I pop a sponge in there. So go wash my car. Tell me you're bored. You know, he's only six. The car's still going to be as dirty as he started with, but he's never going to come and tell me he's bored. Go read a book, boy. What's wrong with you? You know, find something to do. I don't believe in that principle. The principle is you apply yourself wherever you are. Watch over your mind. You know, they say an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Am I showing my age there? A few people didn't know that phrase. Saints of God, there's work to be done in Pollard's Hill Baptist Church. There's work to be done in the community of Pollard's Hill. And many of us have been here for many years doing the work. And if that's you, hallelujah, well done. Praise God. However, let me encourage you, there's more to be done. And if something is trying to distract you or discourage you from who you are meant to be, you answer at all times, I am doing a great work. I can't come down. We're not finished here. We're not finished. And God is not finished with us. The wall is built, it's completed, but we're not finished. There's more to be done. There's more to be done in our community. And God has given us that command. And what we're doing is we are a beacon for others who want to join that work, who want to give. Show them how to give. Show them how to love. We have a responsibility as a church and as a family of God's people, yeah, to not just come and hear the good news, but go and tell the good news. The will of God for you today is that you won't just be a spectator. You will be a participator. You will be a facilitator.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.